Who doesn't know Harry McCleary from Donaldson's Dairy? He and his friends, Schnitzel von Crumb and Bottomley Potts and Scarface Claw, well, not a friend, et al., not to mention other series, have made Dame Linley Dodd a hugely successful and beloved children's author, not only here, but internationally, and changed children's literature. Next year is Harry McCleary's 40th birthday, and a short documentary about how he and his mates were created is soon to be put up line on the spin-off. Linley Dodd, writing the pictures, painting the words, it's called. And Dame Linley joins me from her home, I think, in Tauranga. Kia ora.
Hello, good morning.
How are you?
I'm fine, thank you. And it's especially beautiful here today with blue sky and sun. It's lovely.
And you've still got that lovely garden?
Yes.
Beautiful garden. Do you spend a lot of time gardening?
No. Afraid not.
I didn't think you had much time.
No, not really. And also, getting somewhat elderly these days, some of the things would be beyond me anyway. But I do have helpers occasionally.
Good. Now, anybody who read Finlay MacDonald's biography of you, and I see that it is now out in paperback all of a sudden,
That's right.
to coincide with the documentary on the spin-off. There's a photo in the book, and I glimpsed it in the documentary, of a dog climbing a tree.
Yes.
Which is my grandson's favourite book. Dogs really? Never climb trees. Could you tell me about that dog, please?
I could indeed, because the dog that went up the tree was actually the mother of our dog when I was only 12 or 13. I took the photo of the dog up the tree, and that is actually, what provided the illustration for the book, in fact, the inspiration for the book. We were visiting people who actually had given us the dog, our dog, and we were all having a cup of tea inside, and someone from the family came rushing in and said, quick, 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 come out. Sweetie's gone up the tree. She had, after a kitten, and none of us could understand how on earth she could possibly have got up the tree.
No. Could she get down again?
I think she was helped down, probably, in the end.
How funny. In your ideas book, did I spot a remarkably good cartoon of Donald Trump?
Well, I think, like everybody else, I got somewhat worked up about Donald Trump while he was president. And yes, I did quite a few sketches of him. I think I did him as Tweedledum and Tweedledee with Boris Johnson as well.
He's quite cartoonable, Boris and Doris. Donald Trump, isn't he?
He is. Yes, he is.
You're constantly seeing possibilities for stories and constantly jotting them down in your ideas book, and I feel as if you've got a backlog of books in your mind. Do you, or do you have just the one and just the one and just the one?
No, I have heaps of possibilities, and this morning, getting ready for you, I actually opened the ideas book at a page which has got what could be a terrific idea in it, and that is to do with our letterbox when we first moved here. And we couldn't understand why the letters were always on the ground. The rural postie had been so careless as to let them sort of fall back out again. And we tackled him about it politely. And he said, don't blame me, it's the starlings. And what had happened was that Mr. and Mrs. Starling had decided to build a nest in our letterbox, and they were getting a bit peeved about these letters being pushed in all the time, so they posted them back out again.
The starlings pushed the letters back out?
Yes.
Gosh,
the only
clever.
Way the letters would actually have got back out again was the fact that they were shoving them back out through the slot.
Good Lord. I can see the story in that.
Yes, so can I. Mr. and Mrs. Starling getting a bit rattled inside, yes.
You know, a lot of, I was thinking about the Harry McCleary series and, that you know all about the Schnitzel von Crumb and Bottomley Potts and Scarface Claw. A lot of children's books feature children with the adults, their parents, away in the background if they're there at all. And it's the same with your books. You know, the owners of Bits and Maloney and Harry McCleary are not around. I mean, who's Donaldson?
Well, they're the people who run the dairy.
Yeah, but do we ever see them?
No, we don't.
They're just kind of
fictional
phantoms.
You're really seeing the animals from an animal point of view most of the time.
That's right.
So humans are somewhat unnecessary to some of these stories. But I do picture them behind their hedges or just in through the gate and not seen, you know, that they are there. I do imagine the owners of the dogs.
The drawings, your drawings. And I don't know whether people realise that drawing was your very first love. That's
yes,
what took
was.
You to art school.
Yes, that's right.
And you still see pictures before the words?
Yes, I usually do. I mean, like the starling.
Wow. We might have lost Dame Linley. We will try to get her back. And I don't know, sometimes the line goes or sometimes people inadvertently hang up. But we are talking to Dame Lindsay Dodd on the occasion of a documentary which has just been made, a short documentary. It's been made by the spin-off. It's going to be on the spin-off website as of a few days' time, actually. And also Finlay MacDonald's biography of Linley Dodd is being, I think that came out in 2013. It is now being produced in paperback. I think she's back. Are you back?
I am. I don't know what happened there. There was a sudden squeak in the phone and I disappeared.
These happen. What were you talking about? Thinking about pictures before words, I think.
That's right, and saying that really the picture that I've got of the starlings sitting on the top and the litter being pushed out by the other starling is actually what would probably be in the book in some form or other if I actually wrote the story. So I do start with, I suppose I always do start with mental pictures of you know, the main bits or the sort of key bits in any story when I begin.
And the very first book that you ever did was written by somebody else, a cousin of your
Eve
husband,
Sutton.
I think, Eve Sutton.
Of my husband's cousin, yes, Eve Sutton.
And illustrated by you, My Cat Likes to Hide in Boxes.
Yes, it was our cat that gave us the idea because he was very much a cat that climbed into boxes and dark cupboards and paper bags and things like that. And when Eve said to me, let's do a book together, but I haven't got any ideas, she said, have you got any ideas? And I said, well, what about our cat climbing into boxes? And that was the start.
Somebody tells me that it is recorded that Tibetan terriers, this is back to Dogs Never Climb Trees, that Tibetan terriers, I don't believe this for a moment, but anyway, that Tibetan terriers climbed trees to look across snow valleys where to go. And
really?
Certainly, says Robin, my half Tibetan cross with Sweeten Terrier, the Sweeten Terrier, Tibetan Terrier cross, frequently climbed up the big trees, often well out of reach in Western Park, Auckland.
Good grief.
So there you go. Isn't that interesting?
Yes.
And my brother's dog, says Suzanne, who has a name called Nikki and a place of residence called Karori, but not a breed that I've been informed of, climbed trees but had to be helped down. So it's not that uncommon, apparently.
It's not that uncommon, no.
If only you realised.
Yes. No, I'm quite surprised to hear that. Well, I shouldn't be surprised because if a dog is determined enough, I can imagine it would probably, especially since in my case the dog was chasing a kitten. So obviously it got a good head of steam up on the ground and just charged at the tree and managed to throw itself up, I suppose. But yes, it's interesting, very interesting about the Tibetan ones. But it wouldn't find many trees to climb if it was away up there in the mountains.
No, that's a very good point. I never thought of that. There are no trees high up in the Himalayas.
No.
Quite right. I await their response to that. Robin.
yes.
Wooskit, which is the cat in My Cat Likes to Hide in Boxes, was, did yes. I hear you say, was the model for Slinky Malinky?
Yes, he was. He was a very beautiful black cat, and I apologised to him profusely for making him grey in My Cat Likes to Hide in Boxes by making him Slinky Malinky, so he lived on for a long time, for a long time, yeah.
Somebody has said, I witnessed my blue heeler climb a tree and catch a bird. I was mortified.
Oh, good grief.
I know. You would really think that the trees were a fairly safe place for the birds.
Well, the birds probably thought so too. Mm-hmm. so too. Oh, goodness, that is really interesting. I think this is going to start a great, enormous amount of mail to you about dogs who climb trees.
Yeah, well, you might have to... publish another book about how
I might
many, many dogs climb trees.
Goodness the, gracious.
The first solo book that you ever did was Nickel Knackle Tree.
Yes.
And I loved that book.
Oh, lovely.
But it's kind of been overwhelmed by the Harry McCleary series in many ways.
I'm afraid what I call my B books tend to be overwhelmed by the Harry McCleary series, so I have to keep reminding myself that I did do 13 other books.
so how many books have you done in total?
34, so it's not a very big total for, you know, a nearly 50-year career. But I take a long time, I'm afraid. Anybody who has worked with me knows that I take ages to get a book done. And because I do the double job as well, of course.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. And also because you're a perfectionist, I'm told.
Yes, well, I'm pretty hard on myself, I must admit.
Does that mean you're hard on other people as well?
Probably, yes. But I expect it from myself first, and I hate to hand over a piece of work before I'm complete, well, as satisfied as it's possible for me to be. I mean, I can always think of things I would change afterwards, which is awful. But I do, yes, I work very hard to try and get it as good as I can before I let anybody see it at all.
Harry McCleary, interestingly enough, was produced under pressure as a kind of a B book at the time, wasn't he?
I was supposed to be doing Wake Up Bear for my then publisher, Anne Mallinson of Mallinson Rendell, and she suddenly rang me one day, and I'd got quite well into Wake Up Bear, and she rang me and said, "Well, look, you'll have to stop. I'm terribly sorry. There's another book out overseas, and it's called Wake Up Bear. It's Christmas, and it'll probably be like your book, so you really will have to stop. Can you think of anything else?" And panic, this end. And then I had already had Harry McCleary had popped up in my ideas book at some stage, and so I thought, oh well, I'll give it a go. I'll try this one, and that's how Harry One actually happened.
And did you know at the time that there would be more Harry McCleary books?
No, absolutely not.
Really?
No.
Didn't occur to you that it was going to be first of a series?
No, absolutely not. I was astonished when Anne said to me, "Well, can you think of a second one?" And luckily, I was down in Lower Hutt, because we lived in Lower Hutt at that stage, and I was down in Lower Hutt buying the weekly meat for the family, and had got back into the car, and in those days you could actually park opposite the shop, which was really rather nice, not like nowadays. And I looked back across the road as I was about to stick the key in the ignition, and there was a dog walking away from the butcher shop with a whole lot of meat and sort of bony bits and meaty bits hanging down from his jaws. And I thought, aha, you're going to have difficulty getting home if your friends find you. And, you know, the light bulb went off over the head, and I thought, oh, there's Harry number two, I'll do that. So I went back to the butcher shop and said, could I have that big, you know, a big bone, you know, the one I mean, the big thick one with a knob at both ends? And he said, yes, I can get one of those for you, but what do you want it for? And I said, and the shop was full of people, and I said, try to keep my voice low, I want to draw it. And he shouted out, you want to draw it? What for? And I said, I've got to try and put it in a book. So anyway, he gave me my big bone. I took it home. I drew it, and then I made soup out of it, and it was quite good.
Harry McCleary's bone soup.
Yes.
You are, as you said, not afraid of words like balderdash and caterwaul and cacophony, which some would say you can't put those in children's books. They do love them, don't they?
They do. And they use them, as my publisher, Anne Mallinson, told me at the time. She had several feedbacks from people who, you know, were saying that their children were using these words and in what context, and it was lovely, really.
Do you have any explanation as to why Harry McCleary and his mates have been so popular? I mean, you're probably too modest to say it, but it's obviously got a lot to do with the rhythm and the rhyme of the words.
Well, I certainly made a difficult job for myself in deciding to do it in rhyme, but I'd already named him Harry McCleary, and if you do that, then it says rhyme, and you're
it's a rod for your own back.
And so I think it's partly the fact, I mean, if you write about dogs or cats, then you've hooked in an awful lot of people who love dogs and cats, of course, but also Harry gets up to tricks, and, you know, he's naughty, really. He's not a very well-behaved dog. And in those days, of course, when I was first doing Harry McCleary, dogs weren't as disapproved as they are now when they're off the leash. And partly one of the reasons for doing Harry McCleary was the fact that when we lived in Lower Hutt, we lived up on the hill in Belmont, the road in those days was a very quiet one during the day, and a large gang of dogs used to come up the hill, sort of visit the letterbox on the way up, and they were a mixed collection of about five, I think, and partly that was, you know, that was another thing that made me think about Harry and his friends. So, you know, all these things sort of feed into your imagination, and I tend to pick them up as they fly past.
I know. The freedom that your animals enjoy is something that is not the case these days.
No, that's what I mean. Over the years, since I did the first Harry McCleary, which was, after all, in 1973, sorry, not 1970, 1983, you know, the rules have been a lot tighter since then. And so now, of course, my dogs would be really probably in the pound.
Yeah, but none of them would lift a finger or a tooth to anyone, would they? You'd trust all of them with your child, wouldn't you?
Sorry, that last bit, what was that?
You would trust all of them with your child.
Oh, yes, you would. They're friendly dogs, I think, on the whole. Yes.
It's not only books, of course. It's become theatre, thanks to Anne Mallinson and Paul Jendon. It's become London Symphony Orchestra concert, a Halle Orchestra concert, a sculpture in Tauranga, and a TV animation. The only thing left is a movie, I think.
Quite a few people have wanted to do that as well, but we're being very careful. I mean, it's been a lot of work over many years, and one doesn't want to spoil it by cheapening or, you know, overusing or whatever. Huge glory is not what I seek. I just want to protect what I've done so far, and keep it simple, I think, and not milk it. I wouldn't want to milk it.
No, there's quite a bit of merchandise associated with it.
There is, yes, there's quite a lot. Lots of things. There used to be toy dogs as well. I think that's probably a little more difficult or more expensive to do these days. But I have got one funny little story about that that I suddenly thought of this morning, and that was that I took the little stuffed Harry McCleary with me to Australia once when I was doing one of those jaunts around and talking in shops and things, and I had a group of small children one day to read to, and at the end of the... I had actually parked the little stuffed dog beside me, and... there was one little boy about six who'd been keeping his eye on it the whole time, all the time I'd been reading. I was very conscious of this very intense stare that he was giving the dog. And afterwards, when we had questions, he put up his hand straight away and he said, "Did you kill and stuff that dog yourself?"
I hope you said yes.
Yes, the thought of it was I was practically in hysterics by that time. And of course, I had to try to keep my cool. it brought the house down with the various grown-ups who were in there as well.
Bill Manhire recently said that your work could put some poets in the shade.
Oh, what a kind thing for him to say, God.
Aye. He got a slight response from a couple of poets saying, "Oh, thanks for the shade," but. Here's Sean, who's texted us to say, "This opening to one of your books is, in his opinion, a masterful piece of poetry.
Good.
It goes, it was drowsily warm with dozens of bees lazily buzzing through flowers and trees. Harry McCleary decided to choose a place in the shade for his afternoon snooze. He dozily dreamed as he lay on his back when pittery, pattery, zip," and so on and so forth. But that's a lovely thing. And
that's
you...
a lovely thing. I feel very flattered. That was a lovely thing for him to say. But it actually makes me feel justified in the fact that I sweat blood when I'm writing.
I was going to ask you how much blood you sweated over that, because that is not easy.
It is not, and it does make me so cross when I get people writing to me with their various ideas and deciding to do it in rhyme, because I've done it in rhyme, and their rhymes are excruciating, and it's because they simply haven't put enough work into getting the rhythm right, the scansion right. And if they knew how much time I spend doing it, gnashing my teeth and trying to think of other words and middle of the night jottings and also... all sorts of things, they would realise that it's a lot harder than you think it is. You know?
Sure. I hope you don't mind if I keep sprinkling in texts of
not
people's dogs climbing trees.
Not at all. I think we've started something, really, Kim.
This one says, "My brother lived by himself on a farm in the Eastern Bay of Plenty, and he had a dog with two pups, and he went into hospital for 3 weeks, and on returning found the dog and the pups gone. A month later... he saw the dog coming down through the back paddock with the pups, and on close inspection noticed the front paws of both were at a weird angle to the leg bone, and he worked out that the dog had hidden the pups up a tree for safety, placing them in the fork of the tree where they were suckled. There was a happy ending. He diligently massaged the paws back into shape over the weeks, although both
so
pups
relieved.
Limped. Yes, glad to hear the happy ending, I must say.
Oh, yes. What an extraordinary story.
I know. In Finlay MacDonald's biography of you, we read that your father's nickname for you was, you say it,
was Arabella Slapcabbage.
I love that.
It's not original, I discovered.
Is
relatively
it not?
Recently, Kim. It was, there was sort of music hall stuff or something. There was a character north of Britain, somewhere like Yorkshire or maybe even southern Scotland, where there was a character, apparently a character called Arabella Slapcabbage, and I'd never heard that until relatively recently. So I thought my father, who was quite capable of making up names like that, but hadn't made up that one at all.
He was Scottish.
Yes.
There's a great photo I've seen of him in his kilt.
Yes. He was persuaded for the photo that day, I think.
Did he wear his kilt very often?
Not really. Earlier, I think, probably, in the appropriate occasions. I've still got the kilt, but I'm afraid the moths have got to it since then, and it'll probably look a bit lacy.
Can I ask, says Karen, why the new Scarface Claw book is the first one to show faces and people rather than just legs?
Because I think I discovered when I was actually doing the illustrating that it is very difficult to hold that story together if you don't show the reactions of the people. And so I did have to introduce them. It did feel a bit funny, I must admit. But if you look through the book, it's sort of necessary. Otherwise, the book would get rather boring, I think.
Educators in Australia, I read recently, have issued a warning that books such as Harry McCleary and The Hungry Caterpillar and We're Going on a Bear Hunt, so you're in very good company, Michael Rosen and Eric Carl, are outdated and rely upon stereotypes. Outdated stereotypes. How do you feel about that?
Surprised, actually. What stereotypes are they talking about?
Male and female.
Oh, for goodness sake. I have got a female in one. I have actually got, I'm just trying, looking at the pile of books I've got on the table at the moment. I've got Susie Fogg. And also,
Yes. Also,
one has to remember that lady dogs have certain times when they're not supposed to be out gallivanting anyway.
Oh, look, Lindley, I'd advise you not to go there because you're just going to get yourself into a world of pain and trouble.
Isn't it crazy? People are just too
politically correct. Let's not talk about that. But here's a text that came in and it said, we love Harry McCleary in our house, but we constantly have to gender swap and make characters female and non-binary. Would love to know why there's not more gender equality in your books and your thoughts on lack of female characters in kids' book in general. It was started in 1983. I suspect that's part of the answer.
It is. It was. Yeah, that's true. I'm conscious of it now because of what people say, yes. And probably if I was writing more B books at the moment, I would probably have other female characters in them as well. It's not through any conscious selection or anything. I mean, with dogs, I don't know how many lady dogs would go rambling with gentleman dogs. There could be problems. I don't think I'm going to go there. I think I shall just stay with what I've
you
done.
Just,
and I'm sorry if I've suddenly become totally out of date.
Do not apologise. I do not think that is necessary. Somebody claims their Labrador Kelly climbed the apple tree and picked the apples. Which wouldn't surprise me, given that it was a Labrador, right?
Oh, no.
And your father calling you Arabella Slap Cabbage. Helen says, my Yorkshire mother sometimes called me Pollyanna Slap Cabbage.
Oh, for goodness.
So there are a few slap cabbages around.
Yes, well, that sort of fits what I read. And so I never asked my father whether he'd made that up himself at all. I just thought he probably had because he made up lots of other silly words as well. Didn't occur to me at all until I can't even remember where I heard it. But I suddenly realised that this was a music hall character or something.
Mm.
Quite a long way back, I think. And that's probably because Dad was quite interested in that sort of thing before he left Scotland. I think sort of performed a bit over there, and he would have probably heard the name then, which is probably way back in the, you know, in the Victorian era, perhaps part of music hall thing.
It's very nice to talk to you, and people will be very happy to see the documentary, which is on the spin-off site very shortly. Will you be working on something today?
I should be.
No.
But I got so worked up with excitement about talking to you that I haven't thought what I'm going to do
next.
No,
you just go for a little potter in the garden. It's a lovely day and you should enjoy yourself.
I just might, because it is, after all the rain we've had recently, it's a beautiful day, and it feels so unusual that I should be outside, yes. And there are things I ought to be doing out there.
Do you know, somebody's also said, Barbara says, my grandfather's nickname for me some 70 years ago was Slinky Malinky.
Really?
I know.
Really?
Plus ça change. Nothing new under the sun.
Well, of course, if you start out with one word, you very often end up with a rhyme that goes with it, don't
you? Of course.
Which may well be. But that's amazing. I didn't think there'd ever been another Slinky Malinky out there.
Of course. And Bruce says, forget about the gender crap. We grew up our kids on this healthy stuff. And as new immigrants at the turn of the millennium, it acclimatised to New Zealand very well.
I'm glad I've got lots of support out there. That's nice.
You have a mass of support. It's lovely to talk to you. Thank you.
Lovely to talk to you too, Kip.
Dame Lindley Dodd, who, as I said, there's a wee documentary going up on the spin-off about her creative process, and Finlay McDonald's book, which I referred to earlier, the biography of Lindley Dodd, came out in 2013, and it's just out in paperback.